Welcome. You're listening to Ask the Doulas, a podcast where we talk to experts from all over the country about topics related to pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and early parenting. Let's chat.
Hello, hello. This is Kristen with Ask the Doulas and owner of Gold Coast Doulas. And I'm here to chat today with Sarah Ann Kelly. And Sarah Ann is a trainer. So her focus is on helping busy women get and stay in the best shape of their lives during and after pregnancy. So Sarah Ann has a fantastic background that we'll get into, but she is certified as a pregnancy and postnatal trainer from the ACOG. And so I'm thrilled to have you here, Sarah Ann. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So I'd love to chat more. You have so many certifications, so about your specialties and how you support women in the prenatal and postnatal fitness realm.
Sure. So I'm certified through ACOG, so the American, is it Council or Congress? American Council Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And so I got certified back in 2007, and I've been working with prenatal and postpartum women ever since, and teaching all different kinds of group fitness classes from Pilates to boot camp. And I have two little kiddos of my own too, which they're like my own little certifications. Good Lord.
Yes. Having gone through it yourself, and you started your journey as a trainer in New York, correct?
Yep.
And now you're in West Michigan.
Yeah. I know.
Big change.
I know. We moved around quite a bit, especially in the pandemic, but we were like, where can we go where we have help? Because my kids are 3 and 5 now, but they're 19 months apart. And like surviving that 2 under 2 was just, you know, it was
yes.
a lot. You can avoid it. I don't recommend it.
I get it completely.
Yeah.
My kids are 21 months apart. So
okay,
yeah. Right there.
So, yeah. You've been through it. Yeah. I mean, now it's so great. They're best friends and they're amazing, but we're just really happy to be kind of settled where we have a little bit more support, which is one of the things we're going to talk about today for sure.
Yes. So Sarah Ann, let's start by talking about prenatal fitness and your recommendations. I know you've got plenty of exercise tips. And so let's dive in to what women can do in pregnancy to set themselves up for a great recovery postpartum.
Gotcha. Oh, I love this question. I mean, the honest answer is like so much. I've been doing this for a long time, and I know every pregnancy is different. So, you know, your body is very different from the person next to you. But I think we have it backward. We treat pregnant women like delicate flowers who shouldn't lift anything, who shouldn't get their heart rate up, who shouldn't stretch too far. And postpartum people are just expected to like, you know, start doing burpees the second they get off the table.
Right.
And it's very opposite. Like, you know, I worked out through both of my pregnancies. So I know personally, like how helpful it is to reduce the bloating and fatigue. And obviously I've worked with, you know, thousands of women at this point. And I think the more active you can stay during pregnancy, the better. Like they've done a bunch of research on bed rest, and they're saying like it's helpful for very few people. The more you can move, the better in pregnancy, however that is. And so I use the RPE scale, or rate of perceived exertion, when I work with my client. So basically from a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is, you know, Shavasana and yoga where you're just laying on the floor. 10 would be like wearing a backpack and running up a mountain. You want to stay around a 6 or 7. And that's okay. Like the end point. So basically anything that you were doing before pregnancy, or even if you're like, you get pregnant and you're, you know, you want to start exercising, as long as you can talk, as long as you can breathe, and that rate of perceived exertion doesn't go over like a 6, again, or a 7, if you're a little bit more conditioned pre-pregnancy, you're fine. Like I have clients who train up until the day that they deliver. I've never had anyone go into labor in my classes.
Well, that's good.
But yeah, so, you know, I think for the most part, you can do a lot more than I think we're often told. Whereas postpartum, I believe in rest and recovery. I mean, I don't want to scare any pregnant people who are listening right now, but, you know, labor and delivery, no matter how the baby gets out, is a big deal on the body. So rather than encouraging women to like go back into it as soon as you get that like quote unquote exercise clearance, like go start working out, get yourself back in shape. No, like recover, slow recovery process. Make sure everything feels okay. Make sure you're working with any PTs if you're noticing any like severe diastasis or prolapse issues. So like a slow back into working out postpartum. But as far as pregnancy goes, I mean, go for it. Like, you know, for me, again, I worked out every day when I was pregnant and I felt really, really good. I know that doesn't work well for every single person. Like I certainly have clients who the second they hit their third trimester, they're like, nope, I need to do things where I just lay on the floor and no handy dumbbells, you know? So every pregnancy is going to be very different. But as far as like the actual guidelines, there are no strength training guidelines anymore. And the old, like, don't bring your heart rate up over 140 beats per minute has been thrown out the window because everyone's different, right? So like, yes. You know, a person who's never exercised before and a marathon runner are going to have two very different experiences exercising in pregnancy. So absolutely. You just kind of go off of like how you're feeling in the moment and day to day, right? Because in pregnancy, like your first trimester is going to feel very different from your third. So day by day, doing something that, you know, moves your body, makes you feel good and that you enjoy doing, as long as you can breathe, talk comfortably, you're good.
Exactly. And Sarah, and that flexibility will definitely benefit women during labor. So, and can certainly help, you know, get into different positions to optimize, you know, baby moving down the birth canal. And so, yeah, there are many benefits.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, labor is a marathon.
It is. Yes.
Like, you got to be in shape for it, but also like, so is parenting. You know, like when I teach classes, I'm always like, these are car seat muscles, guys. Like your kids are only going to get heavier. So we don't have to just play with 2 pound weights for your entire pregnancy. You can lift heavy stuff, but just learn to do it safely and in a way that will support you during labor and postpartum.
Yes, I love it. And then of course, swimming is so fantastic. We're in summer in Michigan right now. Mm-hmm. And yep. So, yes. So as far as any other tips prenatally or your top exercises, anything you'd like to add on prenatal fitness?
For prenatal fitness? Oh, I mean, just do what you love and don't be afraid of it. You know, if you were lifting, I get honestly, one of my most common questions that I get for prenatal is like, how much weight can I lift? Uh-huh. And you really can do about the same. Like there is a regression at some point where if you were, you know, hiking and, you know, running up a mountain, like that example, if you're going for a 10, you will need to scale back. You know, I wouldn't go for like your max repetition at this point, right? Like you want to stay something where you can breathe, but just really like taking every single day as an opportunity to move, but also respecting when your body is telling you to slow down.
So true. Yes. Yeah. And talking to your provider if you want to change anything up. But I've worked with many athletes and marathon runners who ran up until the very end, mm-hmm. and CrossFit that, you know, have continued with that with approval from midwives and doctors and so on. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like your body's built to move. And I think also one thing, I do work with a lot of people who are in PT, and like going to see a pelvic floor therapist before you deliver, if you start to notice any pelvic organ symptoms like pain, peeing, or prolapse or pressure, if you start to feel that, like go get in early and make sure for when you go to get checked for your 4 to 6 week postpartum, if you need a referral, if your insurance requires it, make sure you get it during that appointment. Because it's always
just
helpful.
Thank you for saying that. I can't stress that enough. So I'm so glad you feel the same way. And
oh, yes. Because for me too, I mean, I'm very scope of practice. Like when in doubt, refer out to all of my clients. I would never want to recommend something because I only work with people on the outside, not the inside. So if there's something going on, or if I notice that my client has some pretty significant symptoms, I'm not going to play God. I'm going to refer them to a doctor who knows more than I do, whether that's chiropractic or physical therapy or whatever. I think it's really important to develop like a team of providers during pregnancy. So that way you're just really supportive during pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond.
Exactly. So Sarah Ann, let's get into postnatal recovery and your tips on how to transition back into exercise. I know you mentioned slowing it down, focusing on recovery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is that 6 week appointment that many women want that clearance to be able to start working out. So what does that look like?
Yeah. So again, it really depends on your actual delivery and recovery. Like, and I'm not saying like, if you have a C-section, you're going to have a really, really horrible recovery. I've heard a lot of people have a lot of fear around that. I've had people have a C-section and have way easier recoveries than someone who pushed for 4.5 hours and had a forceps delivery. So I think just respecting where you're at and just really enjoying that postnatal period is like snuggle time, resting, recovering, make sure you're getting a lot of nutrition. And then as far as exercise, if it feels comfortable and you're cleared before you leave the hospital, you're okay to walk. I have a lot of breathing exercises that I can recommend on my website. If you go to the postpartum tab on momtrainer.com, I have a lot of stuff up there, but just like breathing, gentle pelvic floor exercises, stretching, just light movement. Cause I think there is the risk, obviously, with like blood clotting and bed sores if you're just like sitting around and not doing much.
Right.
So trying to stay moving even before that 4 to 6 week appointment, again, in most cases is totally fine, because that 4 to 6 week appointment, I feel like we put so much like gold around it, but your doctor is mostly there to like check your cervix and your blood pressure. And they might not be the best person to get like the complete go ahead. And I say that because my OBGYN for my first delivery did my diastasis recti check incorrectly and almost sent me out the door with a first degree uterine prolapse. And again, like I'm a triathlete. So she was like, right. Just go back and ease back into it. You're good. And I'm like, okay, so should I run 4 miles tomorrow or 10, you know? And so I think just making sure that your provider like really knows that, you know, ask, hey, can you check me for prolapse? Can you check me for diastasis recti? And if you can't, who can you refer me to that might be a pelvic organ PT that I can start seeing because I'm noticing X, Y, Z in that 4 to 6 week period. So again, like we have to advocate so much for ourselves in our American medical system. And this is just an example of you having to do that, unfortunately, but like going to that 4 to 6 week appointment, ask for a referral just in case you need it in the future. Ask about prolapse when they're doing your cervical exam, if they feel anything when they're in there. Obviously you need the okay for blood pressure. Then they're also going to do the like depression screening. You know, I think you're okay to start moving if you feel comfortable before then, obviously keeping it very, very light and moderate. But once you get the go ahead, it doesn't necessarily mean like, okay, go back to do what you were doing pre-pregnancy. It's go back to do what you were doing in the third trimester, but now you can lay on your belly.
Right.
Hey, Alyssa here. I'm just popping in to tell you about our course called Becoming. Becoming a mother is your guide to a confident pregnancy and birth, all in a convenient 6-week online program. From birth plans to sleep training and everything in between, you'll gain the confidence and skills you need for a smooth transition to motherhood. You'll get live coaching calls with Kristen and myself, a bunch of expert videos, including chiropractic care, pelvic floor physical therapy, mental health experts, breastfeeding, and much more. You'll also get a private Facebook community with other mothers going through this at the same time as you to offer support and encouragement when you need it most. And then, of course, you'll also have direct email access to me and Kristen in addition to the live coaching calls. If you'd like to learn more about the course, you can email us at info@goldcoastdoulas.com or check it out at thebecomingcourse.com. We'd love to see you there.
Great tips. So Sarah Ann, let's get into finding the time. So you've gotten cleared, and whether it's baby number one or baby number four, it's a transition. So how do you make the space in your busy life to achieve any fitness goals you have, or again, for those runners, get back into running and find some time away? And how much time should they be working out early, as you know, they're starting to get into it?
Gotcha. Okay. So I got a whole list.
Yes. So many questions.
Number one, and I see this in a lot of my clients, you have to make it a priority. And there is just no such thing as motivation, right? You just have to keep showing up for yourself. I think a lot of times we struggle, and I know I certainly did after my 2 kiddos. Well, it's like, well, okay, it's nap time. I got one down. I have a toddler who's running around. I don't really want to put them in front of the TV, but like, I really need to exercise so I can feel better and show up as a parent. But we don't really make the same space for ourselves.
Right.
When there are mountains of laundry and phone calls to make, and you know, you might have gone back to work at that point, it's really hard to make yourself a priority when there are so many other things in your face at the same time. But I think the more that you just create a mantra to yourself that you matter, you need to take up space, and that just respect that you're in it for the long haul will help you show up for sure. So I think, because a lot of times, like when I'm working with clients, I'll send them workouts and be like, hey, you know, just following up. Did you get to that workout? No, I had to read a book on potty training. Did you get to that workout the next day? No, we had to take so-and-so to the doctor. Like,
yes.
If there's so many things on top of your personal health, but like, I love this quote, exercise is the most underused antidepressant in the world.
Yes. So true.
It's not just about your physical health. It is about emotional, spiritual health. Just even taking 10 minutes to meditate or do some stretching on the floor makes a really, really big difference on your emotional and spiritual well-being. It doesn't necessarily mean making your body smaller, right? Like, exactly. Exercise is not like just about making ourselves skinny and trying to get the body back. That is not my intention with this at all. It is about respecting your body and your space and getting your body back to a way that you feel comfortable moving around in, and making sure that you're strong and preventing injuries and all of that golden stuff. So there's just a lot of other reasons to exercise that sometimes if we're just focused on like, I have to get like an hour at the gym of like lifting heavy weights. Like, you don't have to do that every single day. But I do think just finding the time and making yourself a priority, even if it's for 10 minutes, you know, if you don't have a lot of support that day, and then maybe taking a little bit more time out, you know, a couple of days later, like that's number one for me, is just finding the motivation to move, making yourself a priority to create the space and time to do that. So that's number one. And then number two is just also like literally physically taking up space. Cause I think a lot of us have a hard time getting to the gym or might not feel comfortable going to work out in a physical space yet with other people, is to create like a space in your home where you keep all of your stuff. And whether that's like a basket that you cover with a blanket, or you store some dumbbells under your bed, but just keeping all of your things consistently there. So that way, when it's time to work out, you don't have to like run all over the house to find equipment.
Yes.
Is really helpful. And then, you know, obviously like there's the like pack your bag if you're going to the gym the night before, but also just creating the space for that bag. So when it's time to fold your laundry and you have your workout outfit, you just roll it up, put it in the bag, keep socks, keep spare hair ties, like keep everything in there. So if you are running out the door to go to a yoga class and your kid is losing their mind and you don't want them to see you run out the door, you can just do that and you aren't searching for stuff. And then one thing for at-home workouts, I always say like, make sure that you're covering up your dumbbells and all of your exercise equipment, because babies and dumbbells don't mix.
Yes.
And a lot of times if you have crawlers or toddlers, they tend to gravitate towards all of your toys. So just make sure they're covered so they're out of sight.
Great tip.
Yeah. And then, okay. So another thing, number three, creating a routine that can be flexible, like finding the flexibility throughout your day.
With nap times being unpredictable or feeding.
Totally. Yes. Yes. Or like someone comes to visit unannounced, although hopefully we aren't doing that anymore to people. Just like creating a routine and a schedule, but also being really flexible about it. And the American Council on Exercise recommends 150 minutes per week of moderate exercise. So meaning like yoga or walking, something on the lighter side, or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise. So like, you know, your more high impact classes or workouts. So you don't need to do it all in one day.
Yes.
Like you don't, point. Like, don't feel like you need to do an hour to make it count. I send a lot of my clients 15 to 20 minute workouts, because usually that's all they have if they're working and they have little kiddos. So I think just like creating a flexible routine where, okay, I'm going to try to get up in the morning. If I need to sleep in, I'm going to, and then I'll do something before bed. And I think it's really helpful if you have a partner or if you have any kind of family help to include them in the schedule, because it's really hard to do all this on your own, especially because like naps are so flexible, you know, naps are, we really struggled with nap time. So that's like a hot button for me. Yeah. So I think just like creating some flexibility or really getting help in that, and just having that conversation around time and boundaries of like, I'm going to go and shut the door for 20 minutes and you are in charge of the kids, or can I drop them off so I can go take a class, or finding a studio that has childcare, like just in, it's not all on you. And I think it's really helpful if you have, you know, A, the accountability of other people, but also just creating that space and taking up the time to say, I need to do this for myself and I need a little extra help. is really important.
Yes, because after giving birth, the focus is on the baby. Mm-hmm. And the mother just feels like she's, I don't know, not as important, not a priority. And so the fact that your suggestions are really taking the time, making, you know, space to feel more like yourself pre-baby and get stronger versus sacrificing everything, a new mother or, you know, again, fourth time mother.
Yeah, I think the more help you can get, and it doesn't, you know, you can always like partner up with a neighbor, or if you have other friends who have kids, like use each other as a village. Because I think that's one thing that we really lost in the past couple of years is just like using each other to help everybody out. Because I think that's the one thing that I loved about my postpartum period is that we had just moved to a new city. I didn't really know anyone before I was pregnant. Okay. But I got like, you know, you meet people at the playground or in lactation group and you really get to like find your tribe. And yes. I think it's okay to ask for help because I think we all love helping, right? If someone called you and was like, hey, I really need help, like getting to this appointment. Can you help me out? Can you watch my kid? You're like, yeah, the more the merrier.
Yes. And a specific request is where it's at versus, oh, just I'm struggling, but you don't know what you need. If you can say, hey, I would love for you to join me, or can you watch my kid while I go to the basement and work out for 15 minutes? Or yes. So a specific request is so important.
I know. And it's so hard to do because, you know, it's hard to make that request because sometimes you're like, I don't even know what I need and I don't want to be in charge anymore. But like even just, hey, can we meet up for a walk a couple times a week so we get in the sun and I'm accountable for like getting off my couch and, you know, going away from the laundry, like kind of creating a friend appointment. So it becomes a little bit more than just about the workout is really great. You know, obviously people hire me so I can show them and tell them exactly what to do. But I still think the more support you have, the better. And it's okay to ask for help. Everybody wants to help you out. The more specific, absolutely, the better.
Exactly. Yeah. And you had some great tips for our Becoming a Mother students. And that course is all about assembling a dream team, asking for help, knowing your options, because we strongly believe that if you don't know your options, like physical therapists and, you know, even, you know, understanding how to install your car seat correctly. So we have car seat safety technicians and really understanding who makes up both your personal village as well as your professional. So
yeah, let me see. I have a couple more if we have enough time or I can save them.
Yeah, go ahead and give us your final tips and then we'll chat about your business.
Okay, so my last two. If you are not feeling it and you are tired and you're like a little groggy going into your workouts, use music. So find something that kind of pumps you up and start listening it. So plug those headphones in while you're getting ready to work out. If you can drive, if you're driving somewhere to exercise, like going to a hike or going to a gym, like put that music on in your car. So it's like a little bit better of a transition into the fitness. They've done a lot of studies on music and beats per minute. So like find something that's a little bit more high energy to get you in the mood if you're not feeling it. That being said, please don't exercise on less than 4 hours of sleep. Sleep is really important. And I think it needs to be said that you can regret a workout. Like don't listen to like all those fitness memes on the internet. They don't apply to you, right? Like rest is still really, really important. So using music as a motivator. And then my final tip is just to find something that you love. So dance in your kitchen, you know, go for a walk with some music, take a hike, swim, bike, lift heavy things, try Afro yoga, like try to, you know, find something that is fun that you really look forward to doing and finding the joy in it, because you're not going to do it if you don't, you know, like you don't feel inspired or you're just not interested in it. And I feel like there's this old, like, you know, I kind of said it before, but like using exercise as a form of punishment, and it's not. So, you know, I think that exercise can teach us a lot of like life lessons and goal settings and things like that. So finding something that brings you joy or makes you feel accomplished and gets you a good sweat on, it doesn't matter what it is, just find something that you really love to do. So that way you're actually wanting to show up for it.
Perfect. Thank you, Sarah Ann. So how do we find you? I know you mentioned momtrainer.com, but you are all over social. So share on all of the ways that our listeners can chat with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, number one, go to my website, momtrainer.com. You can use, I think I have a contact button. It's like momtrainer.com/contact or anywhere on the website. You can reach me there. If you have a more specific question, I'm also mostly on Instagram. I'm at the Mom Trainer. And if you're in the Grand Rapids area, you can come take class with me. I'm teaching at Mind Body Baby Yoga, and we're adding a lot more classes. So I'm teaching some bar classes there, and they also have some really great yoga classes.
Yeah, we love them. That's so great. And of course, Sarah, and you also, for our listeners who are all over the country, you have a virtual and one-on-one classes so they can work with you regardless of where they live. So fill us in a bit about those, the coaching sessions.
Yeah. So I do have just online consulting. So you can book me for an hour, pick my brain, and I'll send you a workout. I have an online coaching program that is a monthly program. I have a 1 month and 3 month jump starter package where we meet once a week and discuss everything, you know, prenatal, postpartum fitness. And then I create workouts that they can follow along to. So you get a recorded video that you click in your document. Everyone gets like a document with all of their workouts, recap of our calls, any nutrition support, and any kind of helpful PDFs that I might've created for another client. Everything goes in there. So you just literally, you know, what am I doing on Monday? Click on the link, you follow along. It's super easy. So I have that program as well. And then I also have a ton of free resources on my website. So if you go to momtrainer.com, there's a resources tab that you can click down onto, prenatal or postpartum. And I have a lot of free workouts that you can try on there. And for this specific call, all of my recommendations, I'm putting in a pretty little PDF that you can click on in the postpartum tab. So if you're like me and you listen to podcasts doing laundry and you can just tune out a little bit, it'll all be there.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sarah Ann. And it was lovely to catch up with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Talk soon. Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Ask the Doulas. For more information about Gold Coast Doulas, visit us on our website, goldcoastdoulas.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. Thank you. Remember, these moments are golden.